Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's Hot Stove.
Bobby has 30 steals in his rookie season.
Every Thursday night starting at 6, taking you all the way up to opening day at the K.
Home run, MJ Melendez.
Live from Surprise, Arizona, here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Yeah, where earlier today the Royals knocked off the Oakland Athletics to improve to a Cactus League best 15-5. Hey, we're 2 weeks away from opening day, 2 weeks away from really diving into the wins and the losses and riding the roller coaster that is the Major League Baseball season. Coming up, Royals first baseman Nick Prado stops by, 6:25. He's scheduled to dial us up. I had a chance to talk with Royals hitting guru Alex Zumwalt. You'll hear that conversation coming up at 6:45, but let's start where we always start, the big storylines as we sit just 14 days away from the opener at Kauffman Stadium that you'll hear right here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. The five biggest stories here 4 weeks into camp. We're going to start with number five, and we're going to start with the battle for the bullpen. Now, in today's game, when you're building a bullpen, it begins with strikeouts and velocity. And the Royals have, in my opinion, four guys that are no doubt on the team that bring the velocity, bring the strikeouts. Dylan Coleman, Aroldis Chapman, Josh Stallmont, Scott Barlow. Check. We got cheese. We got velocity. We got triple digits coming out of that bullpen. The Royals look good on that front. Now, no promises that those four are going to deliver in 2023, but when you're building a bullpen, you got to have strikeouts and velocity, and that's a great way to describe Coleman, Chapman, Stallmont, and Scott Barlow. Then, once you have some big dogs at the back end, then you're looking for your specialist, your unique looks, guys with a quirky delivery, an odd release point, a lot of deception, someone like an Amir Garrett. That's a left-handed specialist, a guy that last season faced 79 lefties, gave up 7 hits, an opponent's OPS of 390. So, okay, specialists, velocity and strikeouts, and then you got to have at least one multi-inning guy, and I think right now that guy, the front runner, would be Ryan Yarbrough. Now we'll see how he performed earlier today. He was on a minor league mound as he continues to work himself back from a slight groin injury that set him back earlier in spring. Now, we'll discuss who else could fill that role if Ryan Yarbrough ultimately is unable to be with the team when they break camp in 2 weeks. So nonetheless, that's six guys that I would lock in to the opening day roster, meaning you got room for two more. So you pick two, Kansas City. It's our Panera, right? Shout out Panera. So what do you want? What are you looking for in those final two spots in the bullpen? Do you want more strikeouts and velocity? Do you want another specialist, another unique look, maybe one coming from the right side? Or do you feel with the rotation, possibly with a Keller, a Lynch, Lyles, Greinke, Singer, do you believe that rotation needs an additional multi-inning guy in that bullpen? I ask you, text line is open, 913-586-7610. You pick two. To me, the strikeouts and velocity options include Taylor Clark and Carlos Hernandez. Specialists, unique looks, Josh Taylor and a Jose Quas. Another multi-inning guy could be Chris Bubich, who we saw throw a pair of innings earlier today here in Surprise. If it's up to me, I'm going with the strikeouts. I'm going with the velocity. I'm going Carlos Hernandez. I'm going Taylor Clark. Clark looked fantastic earlier today. Matt Cotrero talking about just how nice his big sweep and slider is looking as he returns from a little stomach bug. Furthermore, Carlos Hernandez, if you watched him pitch for Team Venezuela, you saw confident Carlos. And anyone that was around in 2000, 20, 21. You've seen confident Carlos as a starting pitcher, and you know how I felt. I thought him and Daniel Lynch could take this organization to the next level. Now, I don't think Carlos Hernandez is ever going to be a starting pitcher, but he could even be a 1-2 inning guy. Nonetheless, I look at Carlos Hernandez, Taylor Clark. Those are my final two spots in that bullpen. I want the velocity. I want the strikeouts, even if it's only for one inning. Now, I bring up Chris Bubich as a long guy in the bullpen, and that brings us to the fourth biggest storyline here 2 weeks out from opening day. And storyline number four is the depth of the rotation, the battle for the rotation. And I bring up Chris Bubich as the long guy, and I wonder, can this organization afford to transition Chris Bubich to a long relief or a bullpen role? Yeah, transition's probably the wrong word because it's not difficult to go from a long guy, I guess, back to the starting rotation. Anyway, the reason why I bring it up is not a knock on the rotation. I mean, the five starters that I mentioned earlier, Singer, Greinke, Lynch, Lyles, Keller, so far this spring, 49 strikeouts in 47 and two-thirds innings. Only 16 walks. I'll take that. I'll take that, especially when you factor in some of those numbers are skewed with Daniel Lynch and Brady Singer coming out of the bullpen. Singer for Team USA, Lynch for the Royals, piggybacking out here. That's not natural. You know, those numbers I gave you, you also got to take into account veterans like Jordan Lyles and Zach Greinke becoming accustomed to the pitch clock and everything that goes into those changes that are obviously foreign to someone like Greinke that's been around for two decades and Lyles that's been around for quite a while himself. So I like the rotation. I'm not bringing up Chris Bubich as some sort of a diss to those starting five, but my issue is, and we all know those starting five, either someone's going to struggle or someone's going to get injured after those starting five. Can they afford to remove Chris Bubich from that number six spot? Can he continue to hold that number six spot if he's serving as a long guy, getting one outing a week? You know, an injury pops up a few weeks into the season. Who's up? Who's that guy you turn to fill in for Lynch or Lyles, Keller, Singer, Greinke? Is it Jonathan Heasley, who is, yes, coming along this spring? I know he, too, happy with how his new sweeper has progressed. That's the in vogue pitch. Keller's got a new sweeper. I understand Heasley is happy with his most recent outing. I know Matt Cotrero, very happy with what he saw from Jonathan Heasley in Maryvale earlier in the week. Okay. And you know what? I'm a fan of Jonathan Heasley. But who else? I think Bubich has to remain at least stretched out enough that he can be the first one that you call upon. Bubich has to remain an option because he's still one of the top options until an Alec Marsh, a Jonathan Bolin. I think those kids that you drafted a few years ago are still a few years away. So it's rather slim pickings right now. Bubich, performance today, not necessarily a step in the right direction. I would say a lateral step for Chris Bubich as he looks to find a spot on this team, whether it's in the rotation or it's in the bullpen as a long guy. I asked Matt Cotrero earlier today, are you willing to commit any of those final two spots in the rotation, the spots outside of Greinke, Singer, and Lyles? Can we say that Lynch is in? Can we say that Keller is in? 2 weeks away from opening day, the Royals still unwilling to go, yes, Daniel Lynch is in the rotation, or yes, Brad Keller's in the rotation. Now, as we continue to fill out the roster, to me, the third biggest storyline 2 weeks out is the battle for the bench, or a battle for a roster spot, right? I think it's going to be exciting to watch Matt Cotrero and this coaching staff utilize the roster, right? That was my big takeaway from his introductory press conference. And that was something that many in the front office praised Cotrero during the interview process, praised him for during the interview process. And that was his, I don't want to say willingness, but almost his assumption that if you're on the 26-man roster, you're going to get some run. You're not playing once a week. You're not getting just, you know, 4 or 5 at-bats over the course of a 7-game stretch. If you're a member, if you're one of the 13 position players, we're going to utilize you, right? He says, why have them on the team if they're not playing? So along those lines, as you start to build the roster and look at these position battles happening out here, in my mind, 8 of the 13 spots are already locked up. Right, we know Salvi's the catcher, we know Bobby's the shortstop, and we know that MJ Melendez has a corner outfield spot. But outside of those three, I think the rest of the defensive positioning is rather fluid. Now, you think Vinny is the first baseman and Massey's the second baseman. I would assume Dozier's the third baseman and Nicky Lopez is the utility guy. Kyle Isbell's likely the center fielder. So yeah, those 8 to me seem to be locked up, but defensively it's fluid. Because if you plan on using everyone, if it's not like it's been in the past where, well, we just have to have a backup shortstop. He may never play, but we got to have somebody in the dugout, some veteran presence, some even a Ryan O'Hearn, the way that they used or didn't use Ryan O'Hearn in the past. You know, we're not just making sure we're covered if so-and-so gets hurt in the outfield. We're not maintaining inventory and keeping these vets just because we want to accumulate as much talent as possible and we're worried about every day at-bats with our prospect. If it's truly about using everyone on the roster, well, I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see how they fill out this roster. How they fill out this bench. I'll be interested to see that balance that I allude to when you have a 23-year-old in Michael Garcia, who still has some growing to do as a ball player. Now he might be one of the 13 best players, but do you want him getting every day at bats? Do you want him, playing 3 times a week in the big leagues? Or 6 times a week in Omaha. Still being used in the big leagues, but maybe not growing the same way he could in Omaha. So to me, Garcia, for as much as I would like to see him, and yes, they could utilize him, I think he begins in Omaha. What about the 24-year-old Nick Prado? Yeah, he's still only 24, doesn't turn 25 until after the season. Personally, I want Prado on this team. I want him to be the first baseman and face every right-hander. And a few lefties. Because to me, Nick Prado has graduated. I don't know what strides or steps forward he's going to take with another month of AAA baseball. He's checked that box. Nick Prado's graduated. I want Prado on the team. I want Nate Eaton on the team as the fourth outfielder slash third baseman. Because to me, his arm is a weapon. Late in the game, you throw him in right field, throw him in left field. I don't care where you put him. Get that arm out there. Honestly, I'd rather have the right-handed bat of Edward Olivares and the right-handed bat of Franmil Reyes more so than the glove of Jackie Bradley Jr. Jackie made another fantastic catch today. You can see why he's been one of the top 3 to 5 defensive center fielders for the last 6-7 years. He's been sensational, and the bat hasn't been too shabby either. Matt Cotrero commenting that JBJ certainly seems to be dialed in on the fastball right now. Even had a RBI knock on a breaking ball earlier today in the Royals win against Oakland. So look, I understand that glove could be very handy at Kauffman Stadium. But I'm willing to roll the dice and have Nate Eaton serve as the backup center fielder behind Kyle Isbell. Look, you got to figure out what Kyle Isbell is. I don't want him.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
In a battle with Jackie Bradley Jr. Look, they're both tremendous defensively. I think you got to give Isbell that chance. So I'm a big fan of Jackie Bradley Jr. Matt Beatty's had a very nice spring, but this team's got enough left-handed bats. Give me Eddie Olivares, Franmil Reyes, and I want a real backup catcher. With all due respect to MJ Melendez, I need a real backup catcher here. Give me Freddie Freeman. Veteran infielder Matt Duffy, Johan Camargo. They don't make sense to me right now with the presence of Nicky Lopez and what I think should be Nate Eaton. Right, Lopez is the best shortstop. Eaton has the best weapon, that arm. So again, my final five position spots on the roster would go to Nate Eaton, Nick Prado, Franmil Reyes, Edward Olivares, and Freddie Fermin. Yeah, that's my final five. And you know, speaking of final, storyline number two would be the fact that we're inching closer to the final of the World Baseball Classic. And I hope you're enjoying this WBC, because I've had a chance to take in a few games in downtown Phoenix. Lord knows I'm glued to those games in Miami, trying to catch as much as I could of Italy, Japan earlier this morning. But it's just been a great showcase of baseball, and you know, also a great showcase of the embers that burn here in Kansas City, or are smoldering here in Kansas City. Right, my theme for the season, my theme for 2023 is the campfire. Because we know it's very pretty right now. It looks like we're going to have a great summer around this campfire. They got the embers, but the question is, have they surrounded them with enough kindling? And where's the spark coming from? Well, those are the big questions, but you got to admit, it looks good right now. 15-5 in spring training, hitting everything in sight. I mean, gather around, Kansas City. And if you're watching the WBC, how can you not get excited about your boys in blue? Salvador Perez is, I mean, you knew this, but just a monster, a leader, and a guy made for the big stage, right? He's the MVP of the pool out there in Miami. Venezuela, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico. I would say, three of the top five betting favorites going in with the U.S. and Japan? And Salvi's the MVP of those three dream teams. In fact, the only two players still in the tournament with a higher OPS and as many at-bats as Salvi, Randy Arozarena, who's also one of those give-me-the-bright-lights type of players, and Salvi's teammate Anthony Santander of the Baltimore Orioles. You got to feel good for Salvi. How about MJ Melendez hitting third, looking like an outfielder, made a great sliding catch coming in from right field last night, and Puerto Rico's upset of that Dominican club. Vinny Pasquantino, what an experience he had earlier today at the Tokyo Dome. Brady Singer, the experience that he had, I know it didn't go well for him in his first inning, but I'm certainly not discouraged. Brady's not a relief pitcher. Anyway, that inning looked like Brady Singer has looked at times in spring training. It's spring training. I'm not concerned with Brady Singer whatsoever. And then, of course, Bobby Witt Jr., who I hope you read Annie Rogers' article on MLB.com, her conversation with Bobby, where he said, yeah, you know, I get up there to take that at bat, and I'm expecting to be nervous, and I wasn't. It felt right. It felt natural. Which, as she pointed out, is the exact same thing he said after opening day when he has the game-winning RBI. He calls his dad, and he's like, Dad, I thought I'd be nervous, but it's just baseball when I get out there. That's when you know you got something special. When all around baseball, all around the World Baseball Classic, these guys are losing their minds about the experience and the energy, and it's playoff-like, and yet Bobby is unbothered, feels at home. I was talking with Matt Cotrero about it. He said the only guy he's been around that had a similar ease about him was Francisco Lindor. Had a chance to talk with Royals hitting coach Alex Zumwalt on what this WBC is doing for these young studs, Bobby, Vinny, MJ. You're going to want to hear his answer. I'll bring that to you coming up in about 25 minutes from right now. But that does lead me to the biggest storyline 2 weeks out, and that is this Royals offense. You know, I've kind of poo-pooed it for the better part of the first few weeks of this show. But it's more than just the core four guys. It's more than just Salvi, MJ, Bobby, and Vinny. Now, this Royals offense is red hot again. The only team in Major League Baseball hitting better than 300. They had the best OPS coming into the day with an OPS north of 900. And I know it's all been done because I've been saying it, right? Royals had the best OPS last year, had a great OPS in 2019 and 2018. And what did it amount to? Bubkis. I spoke with Alex Umwalt on why it may be different in 2023. Again, we'll get to that conversation coming up at 6:45. But when we get back, we talk with the aforementioned Nick Prado. I'm excited to talk to the young man. He joins us after this.
You're listening to Vern's Hot Stove.
Live from Royals Spring Training. Thursday nights at 6 on your home for Royals baseball. 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. It's Vern's Hot Stove live from Surprise Stadium, Surprise, Arizona. Royals Spring Training 2023 starting to wind down. At least it feels like it's starting to wind down. We still have, about nine days left? And then they go to Arlington for a pair and then open it up Thursday afternoon at Kauffman Stadium. 2 weeks from today. 1 week from today on next week's edition of Vern's Hot Stove, I'll have a pair of tickets to give away to opening day. So make sure you're listening next Thursday from 6 to 7 right here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. And our Royals coverage is brought to you by the KCKPD, accepting applications for new and experienced law enforcement officers. KCKPD.org for more information, equal opportunity employer. Coming up in about 20 minutes, I had a chance, along with Annie Rogers of MLB.com, had a chance to ask a few questions to Royals hitting coach Alex Umwalt, a guy that has been understandably and appropriately praised for the offensive revolution within this organization, a guy that, you know, Bobby and MJ, that whole the core that we've talked so much about, even the guys that, you know, we're hoping over the course of the next few months join that core, the aforementioned Nick Prado, Michael Massey, a guy like Drew Waters, individuals that can truly lengthen this lineup and give this Royals offense the kind of thump that they really haven't had since the home stretch of 2015, you know, post Zobrist trade, where you were going 6-7 deep of guys that can beat you individually, guys that can beat you. You know, you and I know over the past few seasons, and I've said it dozens of times on the air, it certainly felt as if Salvador Perez doesn't do the damage, then damage wasn't going to be done. That's why it was so nice to see the emergence of MJ Melendez last year and Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, to see Nick Prado and Nate Eaton make their debuts, Drew Waters and Michael Massey, more options to surround Salvi with and give that offense the kind of, again, thump that really haven't seen since 15. I know we had that little flirtation in 2019, but I think every team in Major League Baseball had a flirtation with a bopping offense in 2019. I think that ball was juiced. Right? You know, Soler, Dozier, Mondesi, Salvi, that was a big Whit Merrifield. That was a big offense in 2019. Nonetheless, we'll discuss that. The offensive revolution. I think you're going to enjoy Zumi's answer to what the WBC is ultimately teaching guys like Bobby, MJ, Vinny, and many more. But as promised, joining us now, Royals first baseman, the aforementioned Nick Prado. Nick, I greatly appreciate the time this evening. Thanks a lot for calling in. How are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing great. I wonder, not in the lineup today, as the boys just keep winning, a 2-0 win over Oakland, now 15-5. How do you enjoy a day off, a day out of the lineup?
Right now, it's the time to do it, for sure. You know, just getting the at-bats, getting the work. Days like today, you get to maybe work on some things that you normally wouldn't on the day of a game. So I think days like today are essential in the spring, and just kind of tightening it up when it's time to go compete.
Nick, I was talking about the World Baseball Classic and representing your country earlier, and you and I were having a discussion because you've done it multiple times, really all around the world. And, man, it made me think after our convo was done, man, you've been, you know, a star in Little League World Series, representing the country multiple times, a first-round pick, a top prospect. It's just, you know, people have known the name for a very long time. I wonder what that attention is like.
I mean, it becomes normal. I really don't see a lot of it, to be honest. People obviously come out and watch me play, and I'm very grateful for it. But it to me, it's about the job, it's about the work, it's about playing baseball, and I don't really recognize a lot of the other stuff.
Interesting to hear that, especially when, you know, your career and your age kind of aligns with the proliferation of social media. What was the attention? Was social media, was it ever too much? I know you're away from all that now, but how did you avoid the pitfalls that it can lay before you?
Growing up, I kind of could see that, as social media is a tool, and it's a great way to engage with fans, but in some ways, there's a lot of things that come with it. A lot of added stress that doesn't need to be there. And personally, like I look on a lot of my accounts and everything, but I try to keep it minimal, because to me, it's a lot of stuff that's thrown in your face that doesn't need to be added to everyday life.
When did you realize that handling the mental aspect of the game is just as important as handling the physical aspect? Because, again, you've had cameras around you for quite a while in your baseball career.
I think it's, they're equally as important. You know, I think that's something that obviously been my advice to people coming into kind of the big leagues and kind of seeing the limelight. It's important to kind of know what you're walking into, and it's essential to know how to handle it, but also how to put it aside and you know, keep the work the main thing.
So when you walk into the big league clubhouse last season, I wondered when or if you had a chance to exhale during the course of that 22 season.
I had plenty of chances. I think I didn't let myself do that as much as I should have. You know, I didn't stop and look around and appreciate where I was at as much as I would have liked. But this off season, that's the great thing about the off season. It gives you perspective, and you kind of get to hit the reset button and recharge your batteries and kind of aim where you want to go.
Yeah, expand on that. Was it a different energy this off season? Were you more driven, more focused, or angry, more appreciative?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I mean, that's just not the performance that I'm used to putting out on the field. And to me, that's not the type of game I like to play. Once I kind of let everything settle, it was exciting to kind of be back in a spot where I can create something again and just really come out and just put it all out there.
So what's the lesson? Is it a baseball lesson? Is it a life lesson that you take from 2022?
Both. I think they go hand in hand. I think baseball gives you a lot of tools to handle the everyday stresses of life and to handle the things that come with just aging and having things come your way.
who's in your corner? Obviously, you have family. How much of the teammates, how much has the coaching staff, the new coaching staff, helped with any of this realization this offseason or going on still?
They've always been in my corner. It's something. It's an ongoing process. Having conversations with the new staff has been refreshing. It's nice to have guys like Zoom and Keone around every day and working with them. But a lot of it was exploration on my own as well. Like I needed to go out and kind of not find things out for myself, because you never find it. You know, it's just learning and repeating and evolving.
Yeah, just the experience, and if you're not learning, you're not growing. You're not maturing. In the moment, what would you tell yourself when you're going through all this? Or is it something that you kind of look back and go, I'll probably be better for it?
I definitely think I'll be better for it. I 100% feel that. And, I probably would have just given myself the space to just really put what I was feeling and what I was doing physically in perspective. I think there was just a lot that I wasn't filtering very well. I really wanted to go compete. I really wanted to go help that team win. And, obviously I didn't perform the way I would have liked. At times I did, but not the full kind of what I'm used to. But, I think giving myself the space to really make better decisions as far as like what my work is like, and kind of just really streamlining the process.
Yeah. Nick Prado, Royals first baseman, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. Man, does draft night feel like it's longer than 6 years ago, or does it feel not that far in the past?
Yes and no. It definitely feels like it's pretty far back there, but when you reflect on it, it almost feels like yesterday with the memories, family, friends, and all that. So I'd say both.
How would you describe that journey from? I mean, I can't imagine high school to you're a professional baseball player. To where you're at now, how would you describe you're a professional baseball player to, I mean, you're now here in the big league camp, and I was just going on and on about how I want to see you on that opening day roster.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a change. And, if in the moment it feels like it took forever, but at the same time, in the grand scheme of things, it's such a small window. And, I'm just glad I got the opportunity and worked really hard, and I really want to make the most of this.
Yeah, what kind of statement do you think you've made so far this spring?
I think I've done what I needed to do. I think there's still improvement for sure. I really like where my process is at. So, results to the side, I think I'm doing everything that I need to do.
And you're giving yourself that's something that I also have a difficult time grasping, how you guys balance the give yourself grace, right? But then also you got to go out there and fight for your life and try and make a ball club. How do you balance those two things?
It's a tightrope act. Yeah. The inner competitor in you, it's very loud at times, and it's knowing when it's time to compete and when it's time to recharge and get ready for the next day. That's the key, and I think the best are the ones that really put the best out there.
From the guys that you share a clubhouse with, who do you like picking the brain of? Who has a trait that you do your best to not copy, but take from their game and try to add it to yours?
I have a couple answers. It's been really fun kind of picking Greinke's brain, just having those conversations with him. I mean, he's a treat, but it's always informative, and he has a very, very good perspective on his journey through the game. So I think it's pretty cool. This is my first time seeing or being around Matt Duffy. I think he's had a lot of really good influence on myself and all the other guys around him. I think he's really smart. So that's really cool to see. Obviously Sal, the way he goes out there and that guy gets in the box and never lets NetBack go by. So that's fun to watch.
Yeah, those are 400 level classes. You're 100% right, man. I didn't know Matt Duffy. All I knew is he was a champion from the Giants. Yeah, getting to know him this spring certainly has been a treat. And yeah, you're getting a master's degree from Greinke. You know, the stories of Zach Greinke, of course, everyone knows him. They even precede him before his return to Kansas City. Does a piece of advice or a little nugget from the future Hall of Famer still resonate in your mind? Does one stand out?
Not necessarily. I just love how candid he is with the things he says, and it's you're getting very genuine answers out of him. So I think it's just like the body of the conversations.
Yeah, that seems to be the answer from most guys in that clubhouse, is you know it's coming from a good place and you know it's 100% honest. So even if it stings a little bit, you're going to become a better ball player and likely a better person because of it.
Yeah, and I love that. I think that's awesome.
No question. Nick Prado, you've been awesome, man. I appreciate your time tonight, and I'll see you in the clubhouse tomorrow, and hopefully we're seeing you 2 weeks from today at Kauffman Stadium.
Thank you. I appreciate it. See you tomorrow.
All right, brother. There you go. Nick Prado joining us, Royals first baseman here on 610 Sports Radio. You heard him mention Royals hitting coach, the professor of hitting. I don't know exactly the director of hitting performance. The guy that helped revolutionize this organization's offensive approach had a chance to talk with Alex Zumwalt. You'll hear those highlights after this.
Vern's Hot Stove. If you miss any of the show, you can listen on demand with the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Vern's Hot Stove rolls on from Surprise. Our Royals coverage brought to you by the KCKPD, accepting applications for new and experienced law enforcement officers. KCKPD.org for more information. Equal opportunity employer. Royals have employed Alex Zumwalt for a very long time, and for good reason. As he climbs the ladder, now finding himself the director of hitting performance, the hitting coach. You know, we could go back and talk about, you know, the Lucas Duda throw home. Talk about Lorenzo Cain scoring from, Haas scoring from third. There's just, he wears that 2015 World Series ring proudly. He should. Well, actually, haven't seen him wear it, but he should wear it proudly. And now, hopefully, bring in another one to Kansas City, led by the offensive revolution that we're seeing, top to bottom, whether it's the aforementioned Nick Prado and MJ Melendez, the turnaround that they had in 2021. You know, you've seen the way that Michael Massey and Vinny Pasquantino have taken off. The difference of Drew Waters from Atlanta to Kansas City. What Franmil Reyes and Jackie Bradley Jr. have been able to do early on here in spring training. This hitting development department, it's, of course, more than just Alex Zumwalt, but he's at the top, so that's normally how it goes. You get the credit. But I wanted to know, look, you know, are you and these guys, you know, the rest of your department, are you guys a bunch of geniuses or, you know, just really good players? You know, how do you balance the Are we praising you just because the results are there? Do results override the relationships that you're ultimately building?
None of this works without trust. None of this works without trust. And I think using information to help build that trust, using relationships that we can build, you know, for that trust, it all comes together. Because if we go get some guy off the corner right here and he shows them their data, they're not going to believe that guy. And just because he shows you data, data is really helpful. And I think Q even said that in his initial press conference, like the data is used to help piece everything together. But truthfully, I don't think any of it comes together without the relationships and the trust that we can build with
this
player.
And there is absolutely no question the relationship that Bobby, that MJ, that Vinny, that Massey, that the... I mean, you've even seen the way that Zumi and Salvador Perez have been working with one another out here in spring training. A lot of people talk about relationships. Everyone talks about the importance of relationships, but I get, you know, you see it firsthand, and you saw it firsthand, Royals fans, in the dugout last season. So I asked him, you know, why does it work so well, whatever you guys are preaching?
I can't give you all the secret sauce, man. Truthfully, I think it starts and ends with our two biggest mantras is know who you are, know yourself. And then the second one of being swing at the pitches you can hit hard and take the ones you can. Sounds really simple, but the buy-in is there. And that's the reality is if you buy into that approach, you're gonna put yourself in position to at least get in better counts and get better pitches to hit. When we go up there with the mindset, we're just going to swing at anything just to put the ball in play. I think you have the reverse effect. I think you strike out more. I think you make more weak contact. And truthfully, then you're just 100% on the defense. And I think just teaching these young hitters how to understand that approach and how to understand what that guy's got and where he uses it and know him as well as you know yourself, that just giving yourself all the tools you need to go up and have a successful at bat. What happens again? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're looking for, you know, Peyton Wilson last night, played in high A last year, hits 106 mile an hour line drive back of the pitcher on a 3-2 pitch. Like, great at bat, you know, and understanding that just because you didn't get a hit right there doesn't mean it wasn't a great at bat.
I mentioned watching Zumi work with Salvador Perez, and I was eavesdropping and heard him say you need to be selfish with your at bats. Right? We all know Salvi can succeed while expanding his zone. I think we all have one of the greatest memories of our life because Salvi expanded the zone on that pitch from Jason Hamill on that night at Kauffman Stadium in the wild card game. But the type of damage that Salvador Perez can do, looking at the data, saying, here is my strong area, here's my strong spot in the strike zone, and I will only swing when you come to me. Right, watching MJ Melendez at bat with Team Puerto Rico, watch Bobby Witt Jr. with Team USA. Now, it's not all the time. They're not hitting 300 consistently. They're second-year ball players. I understand it, but you can really follow along all season long, and you'll see their unwillingness to deviate from the game plan, and it's going to pay. It's already paid dividends, and I think it's going to continue. I brought up the World Baseball Classic and Melendez and Witt and Vinny and all of them just raking. And even though they're away from Zumi, even though they're away from the coaching, it's still on display.
They want to win. That's the bottom line. I think they're at a point where they don't want to be referred to as the kids anymore. They're men, and they want to be champions. And so that's the next piece of this. And so, you know, Vinny hitting third and MJ hitting third and Salvi, they all know, like, when they come back to Kansas City that we're not all going to hit in the same spot. But what we are going to do is play winning baseball, and we're going to – you know, the old hand the baton over, we're going to have to come up with a better, you know, newer phrase for that. You know, we're going to, who knows? These guys, they've got so much stuff going on in there. They're ready to compete, though, and they do. They're ready for the next guy. Let's get on base. Let's create damage. Let's create havoc on the bases. Let's score runs and win baseball games.
That really excited me because I wanted to know what kind of carryover effect is the fact that Vinny's the leader in that Italian clubhouse. We know Salvi's the leader not only in that Venezuelan clubhouse, but also back here. Mark DeRosa, manager of Team USA, told me, you know, this is going to be his clubhouse the next time we all get together. You know, this Team USA clubhouse is going to belong to Bobby Witt Jr. for the next decade plus. So now all of these clubhouse leaders are about to return to the same clubhouse. Yeah, that should excite you. And No, you don't worry about them butting heads because, again, as he said,
they want to win. That's the bottom line.
Love it. What other type of carryover will there be?
Well, I think with the younger players, I think this is really big because what they came off of at the end of last season, going through the hard work of the offseason, now the piece of getting off and running during the season, you can't overplay the momentum card for me, especially with the hitting side, that it allows them to be comfortable. And the sooner that they can get comfortable, the sooner that their talent's truly going to play through.
And I asked, how do you avoid pressing early on in the season, right? That's the big question.
I think, again, just the atmosphere that I feel like Keone and I have to try to create every day in the cages is going to be that of comfort. And I'm not saying comfort of like coming around them and you know, wrapping them with a blanket. I'm talking about just come in there and listen. We know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. Having those honest conversations with them, letting the data speak for itself so that we can come together and create a solution to if there is a problem. You know, with pressing, that's between the ears. And so I think, again, just the true conversations of us coming alongside them and trying to help them through that. But I like to say that, you know, these guys, they're comfortable right now in a good way that should carry into the season.
It is a clubhouse that is enabling and empowering the players. Could be fun, Kansas City. I know what's going to be fun, and that's After Hours. Dusty Likens getting you updated on the NCAA tournament next on 610 Sports Radio. Julio Sanchez, thank you very much. Talk to you next week.
You're listening to Vern's Hot Stove.
Live from Royals Spring Training. Thursday nights at 6 on your home for Royals baseball. 610 Sports Radio.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.